The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا نور الله Viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to our series of programs yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we look into the past, we look into yesterday. We look at our rich heritage. And then it's something that, unfortunately, I keep on saying this, but I'm going to continue to say that a lot of our Muslims don't even believe that we've got a rich heritage. And we've got a very, very rich heritage that we can delve into the past. We can look at the stories from our pious predecessors and hopefully learn something from it. So the idea is that we look into yesterday, bring it into today, make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. Before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said that adorn your gatherings by reciting Durood-e Pak upon me, because your recitation of Durood upon me will be noor for you on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, please make an intention to recite Durood-e Pak whenever you can. Make a routine during the day, set aside some time. Or when you're going to work, coming home from work, or whatever you're doing, set aside some time. You know, the sisters, if when you are cooking, you know, you can, during that time, you can be reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't waste your time. Utilize your time in the best way. One of the best ways is to recite Durood-e Pak. And like we said before, who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Viewers of the channel, today we're going to talk about the virtues of scholars. The benefit in having that knowledge, you know, because what happens is the scholars that are amongst us within the community, we don't really look up to them. You know, we look up to a doctor, we look up to a lawyer, we look up to a barrister, we look up to an accountant, we look up to a teacher. But when it comes to the scholars, we don't really give them much status. And yet they are probably the most important people amongst us in the community, if only we understand. And inshallah, today we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to give you some waqias, some incidents that have taken place, some stories that have been recited to us. And hopefully we can learn about the importance of the scholars as well. Time permitting, inshallah, we'll talk a little bit more about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, inshallah, azawajal. It's narrated that when the topic of gaining Islamic knowledge for protecting your iman, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam al-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah ta'ala, is narrated to have said, he said that shaitan keeps a rein of a weak thread on a Sufi who has no knowledge. Yeah? A Sufi that has weak knowledge, shaitan only keeps a weak thread on him. It is stated that once, after Asr Salah, Shaitan was sat down with all of the other Shaitans that were sat there, and he was basically getting a report of what have you done today. And one of them said that, you know, I've made many people commit adultery. And, you know, another said that I've made people drink alcohol. Another said that I have caused two people to fall out with each other. And the Shaitan was just listening to it. And one Shaitan then said, today I have prevented a certain student from seeking Islamic knowledge. Now upon hearing this, the heart of Iblis leapt and he hugged him and said, but you have done an incredible job. You have done the best job here. Now seeing this, you know, the shaitans, they grew a bit jealous, thinking, well, what has he done? We've caused people to commit adultery. We've caused people to drink alcohol. We've caused people to commit all these things. We don't understand. Yeah? Shaitan said to him, that you do not know that all of your achievements are because of the fact that the person is prevented from acquiring knowledge. If people had Islamic knowledge, they would not have committed the sin. And he said to them, tell me, where is the place where there is the greatest worshipper and also a scholar lives there as well? So the greatest worshipper and also an Islamic scholar lives in the same place as well. So they mentioned a certain place. And Shaitan went there. And Shaitan went there and he told all the others to hide. And he put himself in the form of a human being. And he waited for the worshipper to come out of the Muslim. This worshipper, he was a great worshipper. He would read his namaz 5 times a day. He would read the hajjat and he would spend his time in the Muslim. And he was coming out and he was going towards the Muslim for Fajr Salah. And Shaitan, in the form of a man, requested to the worshipper, he said, "Oh, honorable man, I want to ask you a question." And the worshipper said, "You know, ask it quickly, I've got to get to the masjid, I've got to get to the masjid." He said to him, "Does Allah Azza wa Jal have the power to put all of the skies and the earth into this small bottle?" And he showed him a small bottle. The worshipper thought about it for a bit while, and he said to him that there is a world of difference between both of them. There's a world of difference between the earth and the skies and this bottle, there's a world of difference. And Shaitan walked off. Shaitan walked off and then said to the other Shaitans, "Look, that is all I wanted to know. You may leave now." Therefore, Iblis turned to his Shaitans and he said, "See, I've destroyed the iman of this worshipper." Why? Because he didn't have knowledge. He does not have faith in the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now his acts of worship have been rendered futile. And then, when it was close to sunrise, the Islamic scholar appeared coming hastily. Iblis said to him, "Oh, honorable man, I have a question for you." The Islamic scholar said, "Ask quickly, I have to perform salah." Iblis repeated his question, taking out the bottle from his hand, and said, "Does Allah Azza wa Jal have the power to put all the skies and the earth into this small bottle?" Hearing this, the scholar looked at him, and he said, "Oh, the accursed one, you seem to be Iblis. Allah Azza wa Jal has such great power that he can put millions of skies and earth into a hole of a needle, let alone into this bottle." And then he recited the ayat of the Quran. Undoubtedly, Allah Azza wa Jal can do anything, can do everything. Allahu Akbar. After this, the scholar left, and Iblis said to the Shaitan, "See, this is the blessings of knowledge." Now we can see this from this views of Mother Chanda. You need knowledge to protect your iman. Now, we get knowledge about other things to protect our wealth. We get knowledge about benefits so that we can make sure that we have as many benefits as possible. We get knowledge about worldly knowledge, or which is the most beneficial worldly knowledge. If I do this course, then I will get this job, or if I'll do this course and this job. But when it comes to this knowledge, we do not realize that this knowledge protects our iman. And the problem is we don't realize the value of our iman. We don't know how valuable it is. We value goods. Yeah. We value our clothes. We value our money. We value our cars, our houses. We value all these things. And we get upset if we lose them. Yeah. If we lose our house, we lose our car. If we have an accident or whatever happens, you lose a bit of money, you get upset. If you come home and you realize that you've lost £10, you get upset. But do you ever even consider or think about the possibility of losing your iman? What would happen if I lost my iman? Do I even know if my iman is secure? What are the things that can cause me to lose my iman? What are the things that maybe I'm doing right now that could cause me to lose my iman? What are the things that at that time of death, where we are told that Shaitan will come in the form of a loved one, he will come in that form and he will try his best to take you away from the deen of Islam. He will come in the form of your mother, your father, your loved one, and he will come there and he will try and convince you to leave the fold of Islam. And at that time when you are suffering the pain of death, he will come then when you're in pain. And when a person is in pain, he will agree to almost anything. And at that time he will come. And the only thing that will protect you then is your knowledge. If you don't have that knowledge, and if you don't act upon that knowledge, then at that time there is a risk you could lose your iman. And there are very many books that you can buy. There is one book that is downloadable from our Daslami website called Causes of a Bad End. Causes of a Bad End. I would recommend everybody to read that book. In that book, it talks about those actions that can cause you to lose your iman. And if you live your life according to them, then you run the risk of losing your iman. And so having that knowledge of what protects our iman. Nowadays, we have our knowledge of what protects our houses, what CCTVs we need, what recording devices we need, what alarm systems we need, what things we need on our phone to check what's happening in our house. We do all of these things. But what about that knowledge about protecting our iman? And in that incident that I mentioned, it shows you the difference of someone that is an ardent worshipper, someone that worships Allah Azza wa Jalla 5 times a day, does tahajjud, stays up in the night, compared to a scholar. Compared to a scholar, this person that doesn't have knowledge, but he's a worshipper. He is a worshipper, but he doesn't have the knowledge. All of his acts can be futile if he doesn't understand what iman is and what he needs to do to protect his iman. Then he, all of that ibadat, can be wasted. Whereas if you have knowledge, if you have this knowledge, you can protect your iman. If you have this knowledge, then you can act upon that knowledge. And hopefully, inshallah, when that time comes, when the angel of death comes, and at the same time, shaitan comes to you to try and entice you away from you, your iman away from you, then I pray to Allah that you are amongst those fortunate people. We are told that there are certain fortunate people that at the time of death, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come to them. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to them, then inshaAllah azawajal, you leave this dunya within the iman. But it's not as simple as that. You have to live your life. You have to act your life. And you have to acquire the knowledge to be able to live your life in such a way that you can protect your iman. These are the channel. We're going to take a small break now. We've got a little clip at the moment about Datta Hajwari, inshaAllah azawajal. Again, a great personality from the past. We mentioned him in the previous programs. He's one of the great personalities of the Indian Park subcontinent. His mazar is in the city of Lahore. Inshallah, I wish that everybody has the opportunity to go there. But let's listen to a small clip about this great personality, one of our great role models from the past. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The day of Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali.
The passing anniversary of Data Ali Hajwari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. His kunya is Abul Hassan. His name is Ali and his title is Data Ganj Bakhsh. Sayyiduna Data Ali Hajwari, rahmatullahi alayh, was born around 400 Hijri in Ghazni. His father, Sayyiduna Uthman, rahimahullah, was an eminent Islamic scholar of the era, a devout worshipper and an ascetic. His respected mother was a Husseini Sayyida. She was a worshipper and a pious lady. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a Sayyid from both of his parents' side. So, he was an epitome of both Hassani and Husseini brilliance. Sayyiduna Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajwari, rahmatullahi alayhi, started learning knowledge of the religion in his childhood with dedication and commitment. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, kept himself so busy in learning knowledge to the extent that he did not have time to take care of food and water, nor did he know about what was happening in his surroundings. Of all the countries Sayyiduna Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajwari, rahmatullahi alayhi, traveled to, his aim was to meet Islamic scholars and leaders, to benefit from them and to learn knowledge from them. Now, to fulfill this aim, he paid a visit to 300 Islamic scholars of Khurasan. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, not only met with Sayyiduna Khizr alayhi salam, but also remained in his company to learn outer and inner knowledge. Furthermore, he had a close friendship with Sayyiduna Khizr alayhi salam. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, left for Lahore with a group of three people in total, arrived in the city after traveling very difficult paths and stayed outside of the Batti gate. With the light of Islam, he, rahmatullahi alayhi, brightened the city where kufr and polytheism previously prevailed. In order to benefit the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, he wrote many valuable books. The names are as follows: Minhajuddin, Diwan, Asrarul Kharq wal Ma'unat, Kitabul Bayan li Ahlil Ayan, Bahrul Qulub, Ar-Ri'aya bi Huquqillah, Kitab Fana wa Baqa, Sharh Kalam Mansur, Iman, and unfortunately only Kashful Mahjub from all of these books is easily available and accessible nowadays. According to the majority of biographers, he passed away on 20th Safar al-Mudaffar, 465 Hijri. His blessed shrine is located in Lahore, Pakistan, and in connection with this, Lahore is known as Markazul Awliya and Data Nagar.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of my channel, there was a small clip and only 3 minutes, and you learned so much about the great personality that I have, inshallah. I pray that we all learn about these great personalities, and there are many, many books available from our website www.dawatislami.net, which are completely free. Download those books, read them, and become aware of these great personalities, inshallah, and hopefully we can benefit from them. In today's program, we're talking about the importance or the status of our scholars and how important it is to have scholars in the communities. When we're talking today about this, I want you to also ponder and think to yourself that what am I doing in my family to be part of this community, if you want to call it, of scholars that are protecting the iman and passing on the Iman to the next generation. Because these are the scholars that are doing this. They have this knowledge. They are protecting the Iman of the community. They are protecting the Iman of them places. And if we didn't have them scholars, then we would be struggling today. We'd all be struggling today. We'd be committing all sorts of sins without the scholars. So scholars that are helping the layman like me to protect my Iman. Now either I should become a scholar, or I should assist in making a scholar, or at least I should attach myself to the scholars. Because in all of them three instances, inshallah, I will have a chance of protecting my Iman. Now the only way we can do that is if we understand the status of the scholars, we understand the importance of the scholars. So either we become a scholar, we either from our family we try and convince our children, our relatives to become scholars, or we support the scholars and associate yourselves with the scholars. Sit with the scholars, learn from the scholars, and inshallah, you'll be able to protect your Iman. And one such program that happens every single week on Madri channel is the Madri Muzakara that takes place every Saturday night. And there you have the great opportunity of sitting with the great wali of our time, Amir al-Sunnah. May Allah keep his shadow upon us. And when Amir al-Sunnah sits there, you see that he always sits with the muftis with him as well. So any question comes, they make sure that they give the correct Islamic answer. And you'll see that the knowledgeable people views of Madri channel are those people that will be very, very careful when it comes to parting knowledge with others. And nowadays we have a lot of, I don't know, so-called, you know, social media muftis, where they'll go on social media and they'll be issuing verdicts here, left, right and center without even knowledge. Whereas you see the scholars that when you ask them a question, they ponder, they think about it. They don't just answer the question like that, they ponder and think. And you see many, many scholars that I've come across that not only will they answer the question, but they will also find you a reference and say, look, here it is. And this is how cautious they are, how careful they are imparting the knowledge. So again, we, you know, just because we grow a beard or we're wearing a mama sheep, don't think we are knowledgeable. And so we shouldn't become the muftis of our time. We have the muftis. We have the scholars. If anybody asks us, yes, if we are 100%, and you need to be 100% sure, if not, pass them on to the scholars and associate yourself with the scholars. I'm going to give you an incident using the channel. It is stated that Sayyidina Qasib bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala said, I was sitting in the Masjid of Damask, attaining the blessings of a companion, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. And a person came and he rested. He said to him, O Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, I have traveled from the city of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam in your court to listen to a blessed hadith. I've learned that you narrate that blessed hadith. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala asked him, other than listening to this blessed hadith, was trade not your main objective of traveling from Medina Street to Damascus? He humbly said, no. Sayyidina Abu Darda asked him again, other than this, is there any other reason for you coming here? He humbly said, no. I've traveled such a long distance only for listening to this blessed hadith. Allahu Akbar. Upon figuring out his eagerness for listening to the blessed hadith and his pursuit of Islamic knowledge, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu began to relate that blessed hadith. He said, indeed, I have heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam saying, Allah azza wa jalla makes the way to paradise easy for the one who treads any path in pursuit of knowledge. And angels spread their arms for the seeker of knowledge to make him happy. Allah azza wa jalla. And every creation that lives in the sky and the earth, even the fishes in the water, pray for the forgiveness of the seeker of knowledge. Indeed, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, indeed, the superiority of a scholar over the worshipper is like the superiority of the moon above all the stars. Without doubt, scholars are the heirs of the prophets. The prophets do not leave dinars or dirhams as legacy, but rather they leave knowledge as legacy. Therefore, whoever has gained knowledge has attained a big portion from the inheritance of the prophets. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Views of the channel, from this particular hadith we learn the importance of acquiring knowledge, the reward in acquiring knowledge, the status in acquiring knowledge. And we also, from this, we also realize the importance that our past pious predecessors had, that they traveled all the way from Damascus, from Medina Sharif to Damascus. And we're not talking about getting on a plane, you know, and traveling and being there in a few hours. Afterwards, if you wish, go onto your world maps and see how long it would take to travel by foot or even by car. And remember, that time there weren't cars. Travel by car from Damascus, from Medina to Damascus, and you realize how long a distance this is. But at that time, the companions would travel. Why? Not for trade, as we have confirmed here. Not for any other reason, as we have confirmed it, but to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Nowadays, what is our excuse? Knowledge is so easily attainable, and yet, we don't. We don't realize the importance of knowledge. We haven't got time for it. And you know, sometimes I think that maybe, in the past, knowledge was hard to obtain. And because it was hard to obtain, that people had to travel for many days, they valued it. Nowadays, because knowledge is readily available, we don't value it. We've got our books are readily available, we have the internet, we have social media, we have, you know, the scholars that are available there. Everything's available to make acquiring the knowledge easy, and yet still we don't. Here in the UK, we have, for the scholars, we've created a course that is the full-time jamia during the day. So that during the day, those that wish to come and perform and do the scholarly course, they can come. Then we realized that there are people that are working and maybe want to do it in the evening. So we said, okay, let's provide for them as well. So we provide a part-time Darsin Nizami course in the evenings. Then we realize that there are people that are busier all the time, so we need to provide other facilities. We need to provide facilities where we haven't got centers. So now we're looking at providing online Jamiatul Madina at certain times during the day. But then we realize there's also those people that the routines are so messed up that they cannot find a fixed time at any time. So for them, we'll provide a virtual Jamiatul Madina. So now the situation has come that, if we look at the example in the UK, that we have to adjust ourselves to provide as many possible outlets as possible so that people can obtain the knowledge. Whereas previously what would happen is, people would sacrifice their time, people would sacrifice their wealth and travel on these journeys. Why? To acquire the knowledge of the deen. And nowadays, we don't. Because we don't value that knowledge. Yes, we'll go away to a university and spend 3 years there to get a degree. We'll go there and we'll proudly tell people that I'm in a university, I'm studying there for 3 years. But how many people are willing to go and travel and do a Darsi Nizami for 4, 5, 6 years? And if you become a doctor, you have to do 3 years in a degree, you have to specialize for 2 or 3 years, you have to do a house job for 2 or 3 years, so that's 8, 9, 10 years possibly before you become a doctor, you're willing to do it. But if I say to you, do the scholarly course, become an alim ad-deen, and it'll take 6 years, oh, can't do that. Why can't you do it? Why is it you can do it for the dunya, but you can't do it for the akhirah? Why is it that you're willing to run around and sacrifice, leave your home? You know, you may say, oh, I can't leave away from home to do my Darsi Nizami. Well, that's why here in the UK, we provided 16 outlets at the moment where Darsi Nizami can be taught. We're looking at increasing that so that nobody effectively has an excuse not to perform this course if they can find the time. But the problem is that we can't find the time. And the reason why we can't find the time is because we do not think that it is important to acquire this knowledge. If you establish that something is important, you will find the time. If your boss says to you, look, I want you to go away, I want you to do this course. And if you do this course, it's a 1 year course. After 1 year, right, for every year that you do this course for the next 6 years, right, it's a 6 year course. For every year that you do this course, I'll increase your salary by £5,000. But you're going to have to like 2 hours a day, maybe 3 hours a day. But for that, every year, I'll increase your salary by £5,000, maybe £10,000. Tell me, would you or would you not be interested? Yes, you would. Why? Why is it that we're interested when it's coming to money? Why is it that we're not interested when it's coming to that knowledge? That knowledge that is the superior knowledge. That golden chain of knowledge that come down from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us through those great personalities. We're not interested in acquiring that. We don't give it any importance at all. Not only do we not give it any importance, but we're not giving it importance to our children as well. We'll get upset if our children doesn't get up for school. We'll get upset if our children don't do the homework. We'll scold our children, we'll shout at our children. However, that same child says, oh, Dad, I'm tired. I don't want to go to the madrasa today. Acha beta, okay, have some rest. It's okay, beta. It's okay. Why? Why are we differentiated? Because ourselves, we put the importance on the knowledge of this worldly knowledge rather than the akhirat knowledge. And this, my dear strong brothers, in the long run, is going to be our failing. And Amirul Sunnah and Nigrana Shura, I've said many, many times. And to be honest, I'll be honest with you, it took me a while for me to understand the importance of this. But I've heard Nigrana Shura say many, many times, he said that every household should have a scholar. And if you think about it, you think, well, why every household? Because if, for example, every community has a scholar, then isn't that enough? Because you have a scholar there, and so if you need any questions, you can go and ask that scholar. But when he said every household, it made me think. And the reason why every household needs a scholar is because how many of us, ask yourself, you're sitting at home now, when was the last time you phoned up a scholar and asked him a question. When was the last time you went and sat with a scholar and asked him a question? And many of us will not be able to even remember it. But if you have a scholar in your house, your son or your daughter is a scholar, then inshallah, if they see anything going wrong, they can say to you, Abba, mother, father, this is not the way. Islam teaches us to do this. And at the same time, because you have a scholar at the home, you don't feel embarrassed in asking questions. You think, oh, if I phone up the imams, they'll laugh at me because I've got a simple question. But you have a scholar in the home. When you've got a scholar in the home and you ask them a question, you feel more comfortable. So that is why, in today's day and age, for us to protect our imam, having a scholar in our homes is more important than any time in history. Because now shaitan is attacking them from all different directions. Shaitan is not only convincing us, as we heard at the beginning, convincing us to commit adultery, convincing us to take alcohol, convincing us to commit all these things, but at the same time, he's taking that knowledge away from us so that we cannot protect our imam. So I would advise all of our viewers to carefully think about this. Number one, think about the importance of acquiring knowledge. Where is my knowledge level? And if I was to compare myself to a scholar, and I was to say that a scholar is at 100%, and if I was to sit down with a scholar, and this is the thing, you need to sit down with a scholar. You sit down with a scholar for half an hour, and before you sit down with a scholar, you may think to yourself, okay, well, if he's at 100%, I'm probably, 75, 80%, yeah? I've got 80% of his knowledge. You sit down with him for 1 hour, and you will realize that you will have less than 1%. You will have less than 1% of the knowledge that you need. And that's why I advise you to sit with the scholars, but then you will understand the importance of the knowledge. Then you will realize that what little knowledge I have nothing, I don't know anything. And I need to do something about it. And until you have that mindset of acquiring the knowledge of the deen, until you have that mindset of understanding the importance of knowledge, and how important it is for us, you will not do anything about it. Yusuf Malinjala, please ponder over this. We're going to take a small break now. We've got another package for you. And inshallah, when you come back, we're going to continue talking about the importance of the scholars of the past and the importance of knowledge. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Once, various poets wrote poems in the praise of the Duke of Nanpara. Some people requested Ala Hazrat to write a poem in the praise of the Duke. In reply to this, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi wrote a naat in the praise of Rasul of Rahmah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam with the following opening couplet.
Wo kamal husn huzur hai ke gumaan nafs jahan nahi ye phool khar se dur hai yehi shamma hai ke dhua nahi.
There are some difficult words in this. Firstly, kamal means perfection, naqs means imperfection, and khar means thorn. This couplet, there's an explanation to it. The explanation is that the beauty of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is absolutely perfect and flawless. One cannot even think of a fault in it. The stem of every flower has thorns, but the fragrant flower of Amina's flower bed is the one and only which is absolutely free of thorns. Similarly, every candle emits smoke, which is some sort of a flaw, but the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that bright candle in the blessed fold of Rasul that is smokeless, which means absolutely flawless. And in the closing couplet, Ala Hazrat used the word nanpara so beautifully. Let's listen to it.
Karu madha ahl dual raza pade is bala mein meri bala. Karu madha ahl dual raza pade is bala mein meri bala. Main gada hoon apne kareem ka mera deen paraina nahi.
There are some difficult words in this. Madh, for example, means praise. Dual means wealth. Parainan means piece of bread. The explanation of Raza's poetry is, Al-Hazrat has stated,
Why should I admire the rich? I am the beggar of the court of the benevolent Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Para means a piece and naan means bread. It implies that my religion is not a piece of bread. So I will not flatter the worldly rulers because I do not want to get anything from them. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon us and may He forgive us for His sake. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Again, a very important clip, and if you listen to that kalam that was mentioned there, that poetry that was mentioned there, that you know, people try to flatter you. Yeah? And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat said that, I'm not there to be sold, I'm not there for flattering anybody, I'm not there to write poetry in praise of individuals. I only write poetry in praise of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So again, you know, we shouldn't be allow ourselves to be flattered by individuals. You know, we should really look at our ultimate aim in life should be to achieve the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla. And if we, along the way of achieving the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla, other things come along, then that's all well and good, but that needs to be our prime aim. In whatever we do in life, am I pleasing Allah azza wa jalla? And today we're talking about scholars, about the importance of scholars. And, you know, we were trying to compare that, you know, a scholar and a worshipper. That what is the difference? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that an Islamic scholar is stricter for shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. Alama Ali Qari rahmatullah ta'ala stated the reason for this, that an Islamic scholar is heavier upon shaitan than 1,000 worshippers because he can never be cheated by shaitan. And he enjoins people to do good, whereas a worshipper falls in the trap of shaitan and he remains unaware of it. We look at the incident that we mentioned earlier on where the person who was going to the masjid and was asked a question. He was a worshipper. But because he did not know that his imam was now trembling, because he wasn't even aware that what I'm saying is wrong, but that my iman is not correct. And this is what the first thing that we need to do. We need to make sure that we have that knowledge that is farther upon us. Yes, farther upon us to protect our iman. And our children need to have that knowledge. Our children need to be brought up with the fardul ulum so that they know what is important for them. And if they don't, then we are going to lose and they will lose as well. Our children will be at loss. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated, no one is stricter upon shaitan than a wise Islamic scholar. Because when an Islamic scholar speaks, he speaks with knowledge. When he remains silent, he remains silent with wisdom. Eventually, shaitan becomes irritated and says, look, his silence is more annoying for me than his talk. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us the wealth of Islamic knowledge and the blessing of Islamic scholars. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala stated that the ranks of the blessed Islamic scholars will be 700 times higher than the normal mu'mineen. There is a distance of 500 years between every two ranks. Allahu Akbar. So this is the status of the scholars views on the channel. That this is their great status. And so we should encourage our children to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Not only that knowledge which I said is further upon them. This is the first step. We need to make sure that our children have that knowledge that is further upon them. We need to make sure that our children act upon that knowledge as well. So it's all right that you've read the book. It's all right that you've sat down with the teacher. But are you acting upon that knowledge? And that is, again, is very, very important. You see many, many people. In fact, if you think about it, use them on the channel. I'll give you a very broad example. I think every Muslim in the world, I'll be shocked if this is not the case. Every Muslim in the world will know that namaz is fard upon them. Yes? But if they know it's fard upon them, then why are they not acting upon it? They're not acting upon it. Because they are not aware of maybe the importance of it, or maybe they're not aware of the potential punishment of it. But even then, if you were to ask anybody, do you know, what do you think will happen to you if you miss your namaz? Do you know that by missing your namaz, you'll be held accountable for it on the Day of Judgment? Do you know that by missing your namaz, your name will be written on the door of hellfire? Do you know that on the Day of Judgment, your other deeds will be looked on heavily if you miss your namaz? Do you know that the first question you'll be asked about is your namaz? Do you know that missing your namaz is worse than losing all of your family? Do you know this? And maybe they don't know all of them, but they will know the importance of namaz. They will know about missing the namaz, but why are they missing it? Because they do not have that fear inside them. They don't have that knowledge inside them. They don't have that understanding that they need to act upon it. They have this mindset that, you know what, I'll worry about it later. You know, when I'm 60 plus, 70 plus, yeah, and I retire and I finish doing my job, then I'll go and sit in the masjid. He's going to live that long. So what we need to make sure is that not only we acquire the knowledge, but we act upon it. We know that it's to fast during the month of Ramadan. We know that we need to pay our zakat, but how many of us sit down? Okay, I know zakat first, but how much do I need to pay? And what happens then is, again, we become our muftis. We've never seen the door of a madrasa, but inside us we become, oh, I don't need to pay zakat on that, I don't need to pay zakat on that, I don't need to do this, because of this, this and this. And we make 1,001 excuses. And you make 1,001 excuses not to pay the zakat. Oh, I don't have to pay the zakat on this goal because I'm keeping it for this. I've kept it for that daughter, I've kept it for that, so I don't need to pay zakat. Oh, I don't need to pay zakat on this because my wife's wearing the gold. Where did you get these verdicts from? If you think you are right, go and ask a scholar. Go and ask a scholar, but the problem is we won't. Because inside us, our nafs is saying, you know what? I'm wrong here, I'm wrong here. So if I go to a scholar and he tells me that I'm wrong, then I'm stuck. So we try to fool ourselves. How can you possibly fool yourself? How can you fool yourself? You know you are wrong. You know you are wrong, but you're not going to do anything about it. So again, having that knowledge, acting upon that knowledge, checking that knowledge, that's again a very important point. We need to check our knowledge. Sit with the scholars and check with them. I remember just recently there was an inheritance ruling. That someone, what they'd done is they checked the inheritance ruling, they wrote it down on a piece of paper, they were very confident because they checked it from the books, that in the books it said that under this instance, this is the inheritance ruling. They wrote it down, but just to be sure, just to be 100% sure, even though they'd literally copied it from a book, they sent it to a Mufti Sahib, a picture of that page, and said, Mufti Sahib, this is what I'm going to do. This is the inheritance that I worked out according to this book with this number of family members. Am I right? And the Mufti Sahib says, yes, you are right. So now this was a scholar that was asking the Mufti Sahib. The scholar asked the Mufti Sahib just to check. And when the Mufti Sahib said, you are right, then the scholar felt at ease. Because the scholars have this feel on them, that they have this burden on them. They need to tread carefully because they are the ones that are protecting Iman. And if they slip, if they make a mistake, then what is going to happen to the rest of us? So it's very, very important that we learn that knowledge, we act upon that knowledge, and we check that knowledge. Inshallah, we're going to go to a kalam now. But after the kalam, inshallah, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about checking your knowledge. About checking your knowledge, and we're also going to finish with some of the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the importance of acquiring knowledge. So inshallah, let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Aqa bulal madine Aqa bulal madine Gumbade khazra dikha aakhri nabi Gumbade khazra dikha aakhri nabi Meethe Madine mein bulaaye aakhri nabi Phir gumbade khazra dikha aakhri nabi Meethe Madine mein Hazra dikhaye aakhri nabi aakar karu rote hue kaabe ka main tawaf aakar karu rote hue kaabe ka main tawaf makke ke jalwe phir dikhaye aakhri nabi phir gumbade khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi meethe madine mein bulaaye aakhri nabi phir gumbade khazra dikhaye aakhri nabi mere کی مجھے توفیق چاہیے رب کی عبادت کی مجھے توفیق چاہیے، فرمائیے حق سے دعا اے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے، روزے قیامت بخشوائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے کلمہ پڑا اے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، گنبد
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah, beautiful kalam. And I was listening to it here in the studio, and I hope that you also listen to it as well. And I pray that we can all be fortunate, be amongst those fortunate people that are blessed with an opportunity to visit the beautiful city of Medina. And you know, every Friday, whenever there is after the Jumu'ah prayers, we recite Salatu Salam, or after the week of Ijtima, we recite the Salatu Salam. And I just think to myself that, Ya Allah, make my name amongst those fortunate people that can recite the Salatu Salam in front of the Sunari Jaliyah, in front of the blessed resting place of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I pray that every Muslim around the world has that golden opportunity at least once in their life to make that journey. A journey that you only make purely for the love of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, purely for the love of the city of Medina. You know, you make all these journeys you make in your life, you go here for business, for education, for visiting relatives, whatever it is, but this is one journey in your life that you make when you go to the city of Medina, or when you go on Umrah or on Hajj. You're going there purely for the pleasure of Allah and the love of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But again, that love, how do we instill that love inside us? You know, because to have that love inside us is again very important, but again, that comes with knowledge. Having that knowledge of the importance of making the love of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is part of your iman. But how are we going to instill that inside us? How do you say to a child that love the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It takes time, it takes nurturing to put that love inside them. So we need to develop that inside us to love the city of Medina, to listen to these kalams in praise of the city of Medina, listen to the naat in praise of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then inshaAllah we'll develop that love. Now before the break we were talking about checking our knowledge. One is acquiring the knowledge, second is acting upon the knowledge, but third is also checking your knowledge. And you're probably thinking, why do I need to get my knowledge checked? You know what happens is that at a young age, myself, yourself, we probably all went to the madrasa, we learned to read our namaz, we learned to perform wuzu, we learned to read the Quran, and we learned other things at the madrasa. But then what happens is when we left the madrasa, how many times did we sit down and get our namaz checked? But am I still reading my namaz properly? Am I still doing my wuzu properly? Am I still reading the Quran properly? Do we ever get it checked? And you're going to say, well, why do I need to get it checked? I learned it, didn't I? I learned it once, and that's it. But bad habits come into things. You know, you make mistakes, and then mistakes that become like a snowball, and you make bigger mistakes. And I'll give you an example. You buy a brand new car. You know, £50,000 car can be a really executive car. £50,000 is spent on this car. It's a top-of-the-range car. And yet every 6 months, every year you get it checked, you get it serviced. Every year you do it. Why? Because you want to maintain that perfection in the running of your car. And you look at it and you monitor it and you make sure that if there's any mistakes, any faults developing in my car, then I will rectify them. I'll rectify the faults and make sure that my car runs perfectly. But in the same way, our namaz, our wuzu, our reading the Quran, the other faraids that we are aware of, do we get them checked? Or do we become our own scholars? I think, yeah, I'm all right, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I've read a few books, I know what I'm doing. When it comes to zakat, I know what I'm doing. Yeah? When it comes to, it's not further upon me, I'll go when it is. How do you know what it is or what it isn't further upon you? Again, sitting with the scholars. So again, the importance of scholars within our community is so great that we need to make sure that we benefit from them. And that's why I also say that we need to have these scholars in our household as well. With regard to this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the superiority of an Islamic scholar over a worshipper is my superiority. Listen to this, my superiority over lower rank ones of yours. He then said, Allah azza wa jalla's angels, creation of the skies and the earth, even ants in the holes and fishes, send ruud upon the one who imparts knowledge, Islamic knowledge to people. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, on the day of judgment, an Islamic scholar and a worshipper will be brought. The worshipper will have said, you enter paradise. Whereas the scholar will be said, you stop and intercede on behalf of people because you have improved their manners. A person who has knowledge on the day of judgment, he'll be able to intercede for people. If you make someone from your household a scholar, Allahu Akbar. If someone from your household becomes a scholar of the deen, if someone from your household acts upon that knowledge and protects the iman of people, then we are told that on the day of judgment, that person will be stopped. Not stop from entering paradise, stop by saying, stop, wait here, and enter people into minds. Intercede for people and take them into paradise. Allahu Akbar. What greater bounty can we have? What greater blessing than we can have? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islamic scholars are the lights of the earth and they are inheritors of the blessed prophets. As we said earlier on, what did the prophets leave behind? How much wealth did any of the prophets leave behind? How many qotis did they leave behind? How many bigger zameen or kanal zameen or land did they leave behind? Do you know how much they left behind? I'll tell you. There was an incident once in which somebody came out of the masjid and he said to the people outside, He said that the inheritance of the Prophet is being distributed in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. So some people ran into the mosque. They ran in, they were looking around, and they came out and they grabbed that person and said, "You said the inheritance of the Prophet was being distributed in the masjid." And he said to them, "What did you see when you went in there?" And they said, "All we saw was a group of us sitting there. And they had a study circle there, and they were teaching the deen of Islam, they were teaching the namaz, the wuzu, this is what they're teaching." And that person said, "That is the inheritance. That is the inheritance of the Prophets." Allahu Akbar. So if you want to inherit from amongst the inheritance of the Prophets, acquire the knowledge of the deen. Understand the importance of the knowledge of the deen. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that on the day of judgment, the ink of Islamic scholars and the blood of martyrs will be weighed. So that their ink will overcome the blood of martyrs. Allahu Akbar. We all know the status of a martyr, the status of a shaheed. But the scholar, his status will be greater. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for an Islamic scholar, everything seeks forgiveness. Even fish in the seas also make dua for the forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. How many people do dua for me and you? How many people do dua that my sins are forgiven? Maybe my close family. Maybe. Maybe. And even then, maybe. But we are told that a person that acquires that knowledge, even the fishes, they seek forgiveness for that person. Allahu Akbar. The great reward is there. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is what I said earlier on, to sit in the company of Islamic scholars is worship. Sitting with them. I'm just looking at the time now. We're coming to the end of the program. There's so much that I can say with regards to the importance of acquiring the knowledge of the deen. But please understand how important it is for us, how important it is for you, how important it is for your children to acquire that knowledge, to protect their iman, to protect your iman, to protect the iman of the forthcoming generations. If we do not create the scholars today, who will protect the iman of the next generation and the generation after that? This is a golden chain of knowledge that's been passed down. So we need to ensure that golden chain continues so that iman can be protected from now until the day of judgment. Views of my channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And I hope that we've learned something from our pious predecessors of yesterday so that we can make a change in our lives today and we can have a better time tomorrow. Insha'Allah Azzawajal. Until the next time, keep watching Madri channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah, the universe is done.